the way Jesus invites us into transformation, because we've been in a kingdom of darkness. And I know when I was growing up, boy, Colossians 1, Jesus transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. And we just thought all that automatically happened because we said a sinner's prayer. We ran down front. We got baptized, filled with the Spirit. We did whatever we did to now we're all set up. Not really. Because we still believe all the same lies that the enemy used to sucker us into his hand. The same lies that divide humanity with what's best for me at your expense. We still have the illusions of who God is and what he wants to be in our lives, so we don't trust him. We're afraid of him. We cower. We think he requires so much of us that we can't do. And I know people who've committed suicide, quite honestly, because they couldn't do whatever it is that God required them to do. Religion is so suffocating. Last week I said to you, don't get a whole lot of expectations about God and try and live to them. That's living to the law. You will die that way. What you want is a journey with him, the journey we've talked about. Behold, believe, and then follow, because this is what you'll do. When you behold him, you'll realize God is the most engaging presence in the universe, and Jesus is the brightest light that shines in the world. So behold him, now believe him. So when he opens a door with some revelation of what's true, especially when you don't like it. I joke, but this is true. When I find myself arguing with me, 90% of the time, probably these days, I'm arguing against something God has put in my heart that I don't like, don't want, and I'm trying to find a way out of. If I can justify my way out of it. We've talked a lot on the God journey. We all have the superpower of not believing what's true, of justifying anything we want. That's our superpower. If I want it bad enough and give me enough time, I can construct even Bible verses that's going to allow me to do the thing I want to do with a clear conscience. That's what Jesus is talking to the Pharisees about. That's what they did. You take these things God said and you make doctrines out of them that serve you. And you miss the point. We're born in darkness. We're born in a world that lives by illusion. And all that anger and angst that comes from that, just because you became a Christian doesn't mean your every thought is wonderful. Doesn't mean the way you live in the world is good. It doesn't mean your coping mechanisms to deal with how you've been harmed and hurt in life are going to be helped you going forward. So now when he knocks on that door and he exposes our pretensions, that verse we used last week, I've written these things so that you might believe, better word, that you might trust Jesus as the Christ. And by trusting, have life in his name. If I don't trust him, if my believing is just some doctrinal statement, it's empty. It will still allow me to do whatever I want in a circumstance and quote scripture to prove I'm right and make me an unloving, dangerous human being in the world. And Jesus is so good at saying, I love you more than that. I want you to find my freedom. I'm going to, as we walk together, I'm going to expose things that work evil in you. And that, don't make that darker than it is. It's just, evil is just not being where God is. I know we use the word for really dark stuff, but just see where I live to Wayne's view of the world and Wayne's knowledge. Even knowledge I gained, I know it's going to sound horrible, even knowledge I gained in my Bible classes. Not all of that led me to a true view of the world and a true view of God. Some of it led to what Wayne could use to get along with his profession or ministry or whatever. Here's what I know. When God pokes on my heart, there's almost always, it does it a lot through conscience. We'll talk about some of the ways he makes that known to us. But most of it, some say a voice, sometimes just conscience. And I don't think God's trying to be complicated about this. He didn't hide the truth he wants to show you in a rock 4 miles away and hoping you'll find it somehow. You'll come across it somehow in your journey. I find something like, I have more to teach you if you'll walk away than if you stay, or I want you to give this away. I find when God has something he's inviting me into, it's like all of creation comes at me. I'll hear a song lyric, even a secular song lyric. And if you know me, I don't listen to many songs, but if I'm walking through a store or there's a song lyric, and I hear it. But the song lyric echoes the same thing the Holy Spirit's been putting in my heart. Not in the same words, the same spirit, same depth. And I'll go, crud, there's that thing again. And then somebody will say something in a conversation completely unrelated to what we're talking about. There's that thing again. Sometimes it's just that. It's just something that often, here's the crux of it. Often when Jesus is poking at our pretension, it seems like that's going to be costly. My comfort level or my comfort space is going back to what I believed and shoring up the hole and not looking there anymore. And honestly, I've seen this in conversations I have with people. I'm having them all over the world now like I used to, but boy, when I travel and sit with people and we talk about something, and I could feel in our conversation the Holy Spirit's poking a hole right here in someone's pretension, and 80% of the time, I watch them cover it over, argue, justify, that can't be it, and I never press. Once somebody closes the door, it's not for me to convince you, because then you're going to trust in Wayne. It's ultimately got to be God's to convince you. But I know some of what God feels. I know what Jesus feels when he tries to open something to me. And I don't go that way. I cover it up because I crave comfort, convenience, ease more than I crave transformation. Used to be. I'm getting better now, really craving the transformation. That's where life is. I know enough now of where God's invited me into space that even if it's difficult to choose, even if it's uncomfortable to choose that direction and follow him down that path, it is always better than anything I would have constructed on my own. And then we see that most of our life in Jesus isn't Jesus telling us what to do, giving us directions. Obedience is always about directions, doing this and doing that. It's not. Most of it is, I just want to show you what's true. When you know what's true, you live differently than living by what you think is true. Because how we think determines often how we live. So it's not Jesus saying, oh, go do that. Oh, go do this. It's, I want to show you what's real here. I want to poke at something. I have a friend who was talking about being in a very difficult situation with God. And it moved them to a part of the country where she didn't want to live, left all her friends, left her job, and was on this walk out in the woods with Jesus and really giving it to God, just expressing all, which is great. One phrase swept through her head. This is the thing God said to her. Why do you talk to me as if I'm your enemy? That was the thought, just that exposed in that moment. And she realized how much of her prayers were really expressed in hostility to God, trying to get God to do, here's the deal, and I think we've all done this, I'm trying to get God to serve my illusion. He's trying to invite us into his reality. And so when God doesn't serve our illusion, we get frustrated, and so then God's like against us, and then we fight for that because that's what we think we're supposed to do. And she just stopped talking to God like he was her enemy. And to hear her tell it, and the way God took her down a path just because of that little tweak right there. Met another woman who was a crack addict in a crack house, nothing, diseased, drugged out of her mind, whoring herself out, pardon the expression, but selling herself as a prostitute to pay for the drugs. She's on this mattress in this dirty place, and she's just crying out in anguish, and she felt like God spoke to her and said, this is not who you are. Didn't tell her to get off drugs, didn't tell her to leave the room, didn't tell her to do, just, this is not who you are. She was living an illusion, a lie. She's a beloved daughter of a gracious father, but she didn't know that. So she's doing everything she can to try and cope with the pain in her heart because she doesn't believe. She doesn't trust that Jesus got her back, loves her. And that one expression to her, which she put in those words, but I know those things don't come as, it's not voices out of walls. It's not that kind of thing. It's just something your heart sees because Jesus pokes a hole in your illusion, lets some light shine in there. And then here's the challenge for us. Are we going to run to the light? Are we going to run away from the light? Like I said, I've seen so many times people come right to the point of here's the light. And man, I'm not saying they're not sure it's the light. It's the light. But yes, it makes them very uncomfortable. No, they don't want to go. And I watch them shrivel back, pull their illusions close at hand, push away the light because it's just so scary. And my heart hurts for them because I get it. Just like we read last week from the shack. Hey, God knows. God may invite you to this little hole in your illusion 47 times before you finally go, you know what? I really want what's true here. In this pandemic, in this very angry political season, divisive time that we're in America, I see people believing all kinds of illusions, every conspiracy theory, everything that flies by. I get them. People send me stuff. Wait, what do you think of this? Think this is it? I just go, come on, folks, let's just, if you knew God and you knew his love for you, and you know that this pandemic doesn't change anything about God and how God wants to work in us, his glory can be manifested in this situation in your life, even if, yes, you lose a job, even if someone you love dies to the coronavirus, even if you get it, even if there's no circumstance that thwarts the glory of God. And when you trust him, and when you trust that love, because beholding, you've beheld him, you know, and you've believed him enough. And obviously, God always invites us to the small steps first, not the big ones. Take a step. This is why you don't get a bunch of rules and try and follow them, because Jesus knows what step you can make next. He's not trying to fix everything. He's not trying to swoop in there and I'm going to fix every illusion overnight. We'll be all good. No, he's going to just poke a hole, give you an illusion that you can work with, that you can, he can be enough for, and step into that. And when you see how that works and how he responds, I'm telling you, it encourages you for the next time. When you recognize it, I'm still at the point, there's still times when I've got these things rinking around in my head that I finally go, gosh, I think that's Jesus. And I might have had that thing blowing around in there for 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm just kind of passing it off, just, that's just crazy thought. And I finally go, whoa, hold it a minute. That may not be my thought. That might be God's thought. And then what would that mean for me to believe him in view of that reality? What would it be for me to challenge that lie that I want to run with? And that's the challenge. You want to embrace the glory? This is it. Don't just sit around thinking, if I read the Bible enough, magically, I'll just be transformed in my closet. No, not any of that stuff's hurtful, because that's part of beholding him. When I'm reading scripture and praying, I'm wanting to behold him. I'm wanting to behold who he is. So the next circumstance I'm in, and he throws some input my way, and I'll go, oh, this sounds like that. Because everything in this kingdom is a bit backwards, right? If you want to save your life, lose it. You want to be first? Be last. Be the servant of all. If you want God to work in you, I've shared with you often the Luke 14 story of coming into a banquet feast. And Jesus coming into one with his disciples. And he says, look how everybody's scurrying for that table. Everybody wants to be up there where it's important. Look like they really belong here. The closest friends of the bride or the master of the banquet, whatever. And he says, listen, guys, always take the last place. And if you're not in the wrong place, the master will come and get you and he'll move you up to where you belong. But if you get up to the head table and you're not supposed to be there, then the master's got to come and move you down. And that's just, he said, don't do it. And I've told this story before, how often that verse, every few years, somebody would bring me that verse saying, God put this on my heart for you, because Wayne was one of those guys fighting for the head table all the time. And I hear, yeah, I understand it. I know that. I'm doing my best here. But Wayne's passion for the head table wasn't killed until Wayne chose to learn something in a way different than I wanted to be taught it. I have more to teach you if you walk away than if you stay. Will you trust your reputation to me? And even if it is said, I'm going to kill it, I might not have. I thought when I said, yes, I will trust it to you, I didn't know what that meant until I'm in the middle of it going, oh, you're not going to just like bash all the liars. Now, in time, even with people who lied about me over years, God has won my reputation, even with people that were detractors, most of them back then. It's been amazing because I haven't tried. I've let God have it, and I've watched what he's done, and he brings some relationships back, and they're warm and tender and lovely, and I love that. Learning to let Jesus poke holes in your illusion. Not you poking holes. Don't you try this. Don't you go out there and this is all the outgrowth of a tender relationship with a loving father and an older brother who's been through everything you're going through and more, who knows the temptations of your soul, who knows what you're afraid of, who knows the strength you have to respond, who knows what lies are lurking in your heart that you haven't even begun. Don't sit down and try and figure out what they are. Just walk with him today. And when he pokes that hole, yeah, you may hate it for a few days, but when you finally wake up to what's going on, just surrender to it. Okay, Jesus, I want you to teach me that. I do, or even say, God, I'd love for this to be true, and I'd love to be able to trust you. I'm not there yet. Would you teach me how I can trust you there? Because when I trust, that's why John wrote John, to trust that Jesus is the Christ, and by trusting, have life in his name. We're going to go on in this study to see how every circumstance you're in has a chance for God's glory to be revealed and a chance for it not to. And if someone in that circumstance is willing to yield to what's real, and that's what I love about what God's, what I've been talking about these last 2 weeks, God's not trying to tell us things he's trying to get done. He's just trying to show you what's real. And our eyes have been blinded to what's real by the illusions of the age we live in, the illusions of the media we process, both left and right. Don't put that into the, you know, mainstream media, and your media is just all that wonderful, because there's a lot of lies that come through religion. There's a lot of illusions that come by people who anticipate a coming revival or somehow break away from something else, because we love, you know, we the conspiracy theories, all that stuff. When you hear people give quote unquote prophecies, and by this I mean false ones, not real ones. I believe in real ones. I love real ones. False ones, they're like the guys on the football shows, you know, before the game's played. They'll tell you everything that's going to happen and who's going to win and with absolute confidence. And then the game's over. It didn't go that way at all. And the right team, and they're still on the next week just telling you again. And how many times has that happened in my life? 88 reasons Jesus is going to come in 88. And how Y2K was going to usher in an economic doomsday for the whole world. And on and on. I have lived through so much of this doomsday prophecy. And here's what I know. Behold him. Let him expose the illusions in your heart that seem unrelated to other things in your life. And then when circumstances come, you're ready for them because you've learned to live in what's real and not what's false. And like I said, and I want to underscore this, because you're not big enough to know the difference. That's why Jesus gets to be our Lord, our older brother, our sympathetic high priest. Jesus, as I engage him relationally and listen. And the other side of that is this, the more I'm living that way, listening, yielding, the more I'll see, the more, the clearer the pathway becomes. And the more I close off high, and this, I know people here too, who have so protected their illusion for so long that shell around them is hard as a rock. And nothing gets in, not now. Can Jesus still poke a hole in that? You know what? He's poked 500 holes in that, and they've keep cementing it over. You know what? He will poke again. He just will. So it would help us not to be defensive when truth comes at us. If you find yourself arguing or resisting, stop a minute and ask yourself, what am I really resisting here? Talk to brothers and sisters in your life who are down this journey a bit, people who don't live by illusions. When you hear somebody say, you know, that's not real, Wayne, give attention to it. At least look at it. Don't believe. This is not substituting someone else for Jesus. This whole embracing his glory only comes from him. That's why he invites all of us. But have people in your life who live this way. Hang out with them. You got one of those weird thoughts in your life, run it by them. I've had lots of people just say, you know, I have this stupid thought in my head. I'll go, what's that? And they'll tell me. I was with a group in New Zealand, and they had this church thing. They were meeting in a coffee shop, and it was really wonderful what they were trying to do, because they were using the profits from the coffee shop to give to the third world. At the time, they used it for a meeting place, and had volunteers work there, and they had a whole thing set up, and some of it was lovely. They were sitting with me one night. This was February, because that's their August. They're south of the equator. So our August for them is February. They said, every February, we cancel all our meetings. We don't have anything here. We just run the coffee shop for those that want to. But people are just free to do, go explore with each other and do whatever. It's always the best month of the year. More growth in Jesus, more learning, more life. How do we take that into March now when we're going to start our meetings again and our programs again? I just looked at him and I said, you know what? I think you've already learned the lesson you want to learn. The road you want to go down is that one that says we don't need the meetings. Your own statement is it's better without them. Better without them. More fellowship, more learning, more growth, more caring if we don't have a weekly meeting to orbit around. Now, I'm not saying it's true of everybody. True for them. Did they choose it? I have no idea. I didn't go to New Zealand to be with this group of people. I was just in this area. In fact, I had a night off, and I got to this place where I was staying, and they said, there's some people would like to talk to you tonight. Would that be cool? I said, yeah, that'd be cool. So we go over this beautiful house overlooking this lake, and there's like 80 people in this house. I'm like, what? I thought we were going to meet with three or four people and talk. And that's the choice. If they go down that road, they continue to explore a vein of gold that's just lovely. If they don't go down that road and they go, then they're going to be back in their meetings and working hard again. And then, you know what? God will still come. Jesus will still come another time. Poke that hole. I've got a life for you. There's life for you, but it's outside your illusions. Now, you're either going to learn to love Jesus when he's the light of the world poking on illusions, or you'll be like what it said in John 7, the world hates him and wants to kill him. Because nobody likes having their illusions exposed when they're not ready to embrace what's true. I love this journey. I think it gives us the maximum opportunity to embrace what's true. And I hope you do.